Welcome to Metaphysical Soul Speak. I'm your host, Elena Fox Starks. Hey guys, 100 episodes. Woo! I'm celebrating tonight. My son is upset because he said, "Mom, can we have champagne?" And I said, "No. I have one more day left on antibiotics, so no champagne," but I did get Chinese food. I don't know, not much of a celebration eating at home, but hey, what you gonna do? So I have decided, in honor of my 100th episode, to start implementing a thing I like to call the Ascension Symptoms Scale. It's 100 points, just like a percentage, 1 to 100. Simple, right? We all understand that, and you don't need the metric system, do you? So basically, on a scale from 1 being absolutely no symptoms at all to 100, which is, I don't know what, I guess we're already there in the middle of the ascension, and we're not ascending, but yet ascended. We're not there yet. But I asked my higher guidance, the primal will to good, the creator of all, the Lord and the Lady, whatever you want to call it, the universe. And she said it was a great idea. And today our symptoms are at the highest possible level, 99. Because 100 would be, we don't need the scale anymore. We know we're there. I am feeling my body vibrate. My heart chakra is grown. It has nothing to do with the people of Whoville, but I feel like my heart chakra has grown 3 sizes this day. Or maybe 33 sizes. Electronics are going crazy. I've been charging my phone for no less than 9 hours, and it's still not charged. So what is that? I don't know. My other phone, I've charged up 3 times to maximum full in 9 hours and hardly used it. But that battery's going, so that's a logical explanation. I don't know. But I did have some cool and strange information today before we get on with my interview with Mary Lou Ridinger. She is an archaeologist who discovered the original Mayan jade in Guatemala in Central America. Before she discovered this, it was a quote-unquote myth. Jade isn't here in Guatemala. Everyone knows that, except they didn't. Except the Mayans had jade. It's in all the artifacts, so hello. It's just the Mayan had somehow been overgrown and covered up, and nobody knew where the heck it was. Well, we're going to hear the whole story after the following message, but I have a couple stories first I want to mention for my 100th episode, and then we're going to get right into it. So the first one is a big cat. It appears to be a giant black panther in Cornwall, England, in the UK, in Poldark. There was a story that cropped up on the news on April 6th in which a woman saw a giant panther while she's having a picnic out on the moors for her birthday. And so this is the second sighting in a couple weeks, and so people are starting to be concerned that maybe there are giant panthers. Usually, as the newscaster said, it's just another reason to have an amazing story, kind of flash in the pan overnight sort of sensation that comes and goes once they discover it's just a very well-fed house cat. But there is a legend for decades now in which the Beast of Bodmin Moor has about here and there, and well, its trail has been left and it's been spotted again, and so we're going to keep an eye on that story and see if anything actually comes of it. Well, that being our down-to-earth news, now we have some more up-in-the-air news.
Angle is 88.3 degrees.
Well, yeah. SpaceX launched their Falcon Heavy... it was their Falcon... let me reread this again. Okay. SpaceX had a Falcon Heavy launch today, and they launched their rocket into the air and wanted to see where all the parts landed to make sure they were able this time to recover all the parts. They haven't up until today been able to do it, and well, they succeeded. So that was great fun. So it says, SpaceX, Thursday, April 11th, for a Falcon Heavy launch of the Arabsat 6A satellite from Launch Complex 39A, blah, blah, blah. Basically, they were at NASA's Kennedy Space Center. I'm so happy they're able to work together because, as you know, this is Elon Musk's program, and he's got to launch all those people to Mars and you can't do it without a rocket. And so now he's testing out all of his rockets and he did it. He did it today. They wanted to make sure that they were able to launch it and there was booster separation and that each piece would land at Zone 1 and Zone 2 at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida. And then the third piece, which would be the heavy center core of the Falcon spacecraft, would attempt to land on top of the drone ship called, Of Course I Still Love You. And you know what? They did it. This was it. It was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and it landed. Everything was perfect and the mission was a success. And in yet more sky news, on April 7th, there was a mysterious flash of light seen over London, England. It lit up the whole night sky and flickered the lights and shut off temporarily the electricity to over 8,000 households. What was weird about this? Is it was reported that it looked like lightning and it flashed all over the whole sky, except there was no actual lightning strike seen, and it was the color green and turquoise, and they call it pan lightning, where it's flashing all over the sky at once. The entire sky lit up, and after a few minutes everything was back to normal. Nobody saw a UFO. Even the government there went so far as to say, we're not dealing with aliens, folks, you know. But they still didn't have an explanation. Nobody knows what the hell happened. Eh, but it happened. Well, in final story today, my final story for today, is the Schumann resonance, as per usual. Today, this is what the scientist of disclosure.it write. At 12:30 UTC time, they wrote, after a period of about 10 to 12 hours of calm, new, mild activity started to emerge. So, okay, after 10 to 11 hours of calm, new, mild activity started to emerge with peaks moving towards 10 hertz shortly after midnight, which, yeah, it's still not much, right? So at 7 o'clock UTC time, the amplitude oscillations became slightly more intense, to around 15 hertz, and then it culminated shortly after 9 UTC in a powerful spike that reached 62 hertz. Oh my gosh, that's huge. Okay, and then at 17 o'clock UTC time, they announced that after 4 hours from the peak reported previously, in which the amplitude has continued in variations, the situation then has returned to complete calm. Well, I don't know. I mean, 62 hertz, that's pretty huge, but that is by no means the only thing going on the planet. I feel as if I am living in a very sick stomach of a push me, pull you. When I was a little girl, I had a book called Dr. Doolittle, and it was a man who collected animals from all over the world just because he was fascinated by the creatures. And he had a rare push me, pull you, I think he said from South Africa or something. I know these animals obviously don't exist, but it's like a horse with two ends of a horse, both the head and no tail. He said it was very convenient for travel. Or at least maybe that was my personal joke, because I read to myself all the time, so I probably embellished quite a bit. So I don't know. I mean, I feel crazy. I feel like I've been pushed and pulled every which way. A push me, pull you, they can never decide where to go, because one head wants to go forward and the other head wants to go forward in the opposite direction. So that's pretty much how I've been feeling. I've been feeling like really woozy and weird. My heart chakra is enormous. My head chakra, all my chakras are lighting up in new and unexpected ways. I had just a really strange day. About an hour ago, I had a bunch of beings standing in here in my living room with me. And then I got up and I walked and they follow me around and they won't tell me where they're from. All I could make out was that they are blue beings. I think they're from the Orion constellation and they are of the light. They have like reptilian-ish like skin, but they're like a real pretty blue. Almost like the blue avians, but they're not the blue avians. I don't know who they are. They were here for a while. I don't know what they were doing. I felt some stuff going on in my stomach and then they left. Then my stomach calmed down. What does this mean? I have no freaking idea. I have no clue. I just know that energetically, I've been having these waves and waves. It feels like the ocean is crashing up over my head and then just rolling on down my body, but from inside my bones. It's not much of a good explanation, but it's the only one I've got. My third eye chakra, sixth chakra is just, it's like growing, it's huge. I just feel like I'm expanding. My stomach is enormous. I know I'm pulling in a lot of light. I had been a lot thinner this week. I was so excited. And then suddenly all this light waves, all the plasma energy, I think from the sun has hit. And I look like I'm pregnant again. And I'm like, what the hell? I thought I was done with this. But apparently I'm still holding more light. So when I'm done recording this and I publish the show, I might be going to stand on some salt in my bathtub. I heard that was a good way. If you are going through this, try it. Report back to me if it works or not. I don't know if it works or not for myself. I got to try it. But God did tell me, though, yesterday that there are two kinds of people in this world and every variation possible in between these two kinds of people. The first kind of person spends all of their time cleaning and clearing and grounding and grounding and grounding and grounding and grounding. And because they're so damn grounded into the planet, they don't feel light. So all they have to do is eat. All they can do is eat vegetables and 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 fruit and water. And that's all they have because they think that's going to lighten them up, lighten them up. Well, that's one kind of person. And God told me, today and yesterday, we've been kind of going through this conversation. He said, you're the opposite kind of person, Elena. You are the person who doesn't care about grounding and all you want to do is go up, 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 up in vibration. And that's why you need to ground yourself by eating heavier, denser protein and food and now animal products. And this, again, animal products, because I was a vegetarian again for about 6 to 9 months, and then it didn't take because suddenly I was feeling horrible and weak and needed to eat again. And that was the explanation from the divine higher guidance. Because I started to ask, because my friend, my really good friend in Canada, has been living in the seventh dimension, and life has been really, really beautiful. And even her husband, he took a picture of the sky, and it was purple and pink, no blue in sight, no white, no other colors, no yellow or red, just purple and pink. And the trees and the lake and everywhere where they live, like everywhere where you can look in the picture where they live, it was all purple and pink. She said it's very, very beautiful there. The vibration is super high. And I asked my higher, she says, oh, I've been living in the seventh, but recently came back from the ninth, and I want to know what that means. And is this true? And so this a couple months ago, and I did the calibrations, and I did kinesthesiology, and I meditated. And the answer was, yeah, she's been living in the seventh dimension, just got back from the ninth. I'm like, wow, okay, well, that's interesting. And then I felt us both dip down, and I'm like, oh, I'm not in the, this is like about a month ago. I'm like, oh, I'm not in the fifth anymore. I'm in the third. What the hell? This is back still in March. And then I asked about her, and it was like, no, she went back down to the fifth. And she wrote me, and she said, something's going on energetically. Can you check into it for me? I'm like, yeah, you're back in the fifth, and I'm in the damn third. What the hell happened to us, you know? But it's temporary. Don't worry. You're going back up to the fifth. And I'm going back up to the, I mean, you're going back up to the, she was in the fifth. I'm like, you're going back to the seventh. I'm going back to the fifth. And then when we were talking about a week later, I got a message to look at the phone, and she wrote me right in that moment. It was 7:33 her time, 5:33 my time. That means the Ascended Masters helped us back up. She was back in the seventh. I'm back in the fifth. So my work had been to oscillate back and forth between third and fifth, third and fifth, third and fifth, because I was a grid maker and calibrator of the energy, which I know now. Half the time when we're going through this stuff, we don't even know what the hell we're doing for the planet until after, and then we can ask and assess, and then we're like, oh, that's what my job was. But every single one of you, you have a job and a purpose, and you are a piece of the grand puzzle that is the ascension of humanity. And whether you're aware of it or not, whether you know exactly what your job is or not, you still have the job to do. But don't worry, it's going to come automatically for you if you haven't figured it out yet. You're probably doing it every day. If you're smiling at strangers and petting cats, and not smiling at cats and petting strangers. I couldn't resist that one. You're probably doing your job, don't worry. You might be doing it at night while you sleep. You might just be doing it every time you do breath work or mindfulness meditation, or just every time you tune into the show. I'm probably launching you or catapulting you into the fifth dimension, because I've had several reports from people now that have said I am launching them up. Every time they hear me, they get activated. And that's funny, because I tune into people that activate me. They're probably tuning into people that activate them. So it's all pretty interesting. And while I'm sitting here talking to you, I feel my Kundalini rising so freaking rapid. It's like I feel like my back is on fire. If y'all don't hear from me tomorrow, I have spontaneously combusted. I just can't. I'm wearing an orange shirt. I should probably take the shirt off. It's not helping me any. And yesterday, the timekeepers just weren't giving information on red and orange at all. But after having the conversation with them, I was thinking, if this goes well, and I did launch my first ad campaign today, and I did get 60 new listeners today. So I wanted to thank each and every one of you. Somebody by the name of Padmore only responded to my ad with these words, I am. I love that, Padmore. Thank you. I hope you have become a new listener and a new favoriter or subscriber. I am absolutely grateful to have all of you on board. If I can make it big with this podcast in the next year and a half, I have decided to buy a piece of land in the next few years, and I don't know how I'm going to build it yet, but the beings of time, the echoes of time, the 44 gatekeepers have told me that they've showed me some things that I can't really explain it. It's like fifth dimensional language from feeling and a standpoint of almost art. But I want to make a physical art on the ground with houses, and all the houses are going to be shaped like igloos, like spheres. And I've been thinking about that part for a while, but I've decided, I don't know, I'm going to do it in a pattern. If you guys have any ideas or you come to a conclusion as to what's the best thing, but I was thinking a six-pointed star, you know, with a center in the middle for meditation, or a five-pointed star inside of a circle, or just maybe a Kabbalistic tree of life, maybe all the above. I'm not going to have a healing retreat center. No. We're not going to need healing anymore. We will be our own healers. And I have helped thousands of light workers around the globe create a healing grid in which anyone who asks for healing gets it automatically now. We're not going to need healers anymore. Not the way we did before. We're not going to need to heal from the past. Duality is over. You know, like I was telling my girlfriend, Cheryl, in Canada, our resident witch, she had a series of strange people from her past that really, you know, for the most part, they were of no consequence, but they were all in one conglomerated venting dream in the morning. And I told her, I think what it is, it's like the bits and pieces of slop. It's just like slop in a bucket. And it's our duty to basically throw the slop out, throw it to the hogs, and the hogs being the remnants of our past lives that we no longer need anymore. You know, let the greedy people eat up the negative energy they gave us, and all that bits and pieces of slop is coming to people in dreams. I've been getting, my friend Phil, same thing. A lot of people have been coming to me with this idea that we're having these weird dreams, and I've been having strange dreams also. So it's kind of bits and pieces and snippets of the crap we don't need anymore. It's just the slop. It's literally nothing. Just throw it out. It's probably mostly venting dreams. If you did not hear my venting dream episode, go back and listen to that. Also, it's coming to my attention, there are three or four episodes that are still not launching from Spreaker, which means if you're listening from Spreaker or YouTube, and there's a few different ones, there are four episodes that did not play. And if you could go back and see the dates in which the episodes were released, if there's a hole where there's a day missing, you have to go to anchor.fm/metaphysical to hear those shows. Ironically, these are shows that ran a little bit long, and they were shows in which I channeled higher beings of light. So it's possible that, I don't even know what happened, to be honest. I can't even speculate. I don't know what happened. I really don't know why they're not showing, but don't miss those episodes because they're messages for everybody in them. I was in a trance state when I recorded the show, and I don't even remember what was said. It was very, very high vibe. Like last night, I could barely remember. I know we talked about the rainbow and what each color means. I couldn't tell you right now what each color means. Not from a fifth dimensional viewpoint. It's one of those shows I'm going to have to go back and probably eat meat, because apparently that's how I'm grounding myself now. I had beef tonight for the first time in 9 months. I can't believe I eat beef. We'll see how that goes. See if I feel good tomorrow. But I just, my body felt like it was, I'd been eating, but I felt like it was starving. I feel really voracious, super hungry. Could be the prednisone, but why? I'm on a low dose now. So, I mean, the illness that this body had is over. Tomorrow, I should be better completely. I don't know what's going on, guys. I'm vibrating so high. It's making me woozy and nauseated. I think that is an ascension symptom. Falling asleep just randomly where your brain just goes, nope. And you get overwhelmingly tired and you just almost, you're so tired you fall asleep standing up. Like your brain just shuts off. It's like when your phone or your computer gets way the hell too hot and you just go, whoop, nope, sorry. That's been happening to me a lot since yesterday. I had missing time yesterday. In the middle of filming my show, I think I had 2 or 3 hours missing time. I don't know if my brain shut off, if I was abducted. I don't know what the heck happened, but I don't know, guys. The only thing I could tell you is, you know, if you're a vegetarian and you keep telling everybody that, you know, eat vegetables, eat vegetables, eat vegetables. Maybe you need a ground. I don't know. Or maybe if you're like me and all you do is focus on God and the one will, and it's like all I focus on is that, and I never ground. I'm the opposite. I'm not saying that either way is good or better. I'm just saying that everyone has their different way. And God told me that everything is an illusion anyway. So don't worry anymore about whether you're eating meat, whether you're eating vegetables. Do what your personal higher guidance says to do. A lot of people are just having a balance. Some people are detoxing. Some people are just on a straight up water fast for a couple days. There's a lot of that going on, a lot of fasting. I know that when I'm finished with these antibiotics, I'm probably gonna do a serious cleanse with wheatgrass and spirulina, mixing the spirulina with cocoa powder, which has high amounts of oxidants. And also spirulina tastes like so horrible to me. When I mix it with chocolate, it's not a big deal. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just like, I'm vibrating so high. I keep like shaking and I feel like I'm sitting on the couch. I don't feel like I'm sitting down. I feel extremely hot. And it's not a fever. Earlier I had a fever and then it broke and that's fine. But now, no. No, no, no. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Oh, I do know that something's happening and we're being launched. We're being launched like the SpaceX Falcon, baby, into the fifth dimension. And I'm grateful for it. I'm glad we're all on this rocket ship Earth together. Let me know if you guys have seen any crazy turquoise flashes in the sky. Emerald green flashes. It sounds super interesting. I wish I could have seen that. But I'm glad that you're here with me on this, my 100th episode. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of this with me. I love each and every one of you. And I'm going to just sign off right now, but please, after this message, stay tuned, stick around, and listen to this really fascinating story of Mary Lou Ridinger and how she became famous as an archaeologist for discovering a geological find through a layperson. I mean, this story is incredible. It's a story of pursuance, persistence, and the power of true love, actually. You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. I know I loved it when I was interviewing her. So I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Right now, I'm gonna sign off early with peace and love and joy and the high vibes of the holy fifth dimension. Until next time, guys.
Today I have the great pleasure of introducing you to a world-famous archaeologist, Mary Lou Ridinger. This is her story of how she met her husband, how they got married, and he convinced her that jade exists in Guatemala. Nobody believed this was true. Not the government, not anybody. And even Mary Lou said, "You're crazy. This isn't true." And this is how love conquers, how the spirit and passion conquers in this life. And it's just a beautiful story. They changed the face of the economy in this country. They helped a lot of people with their discovery. And it's just my great pleasure. I'm just so happy to bring to you, it's my great pleasure to bring to you this interview with Mary Lou Ridinger.
So when I met Jay, he and his first wife and three daughters were traveling in Mexico, and she had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she had a really terrible history of breast cancer, her mother, her grandmother, several generations in her family. And Jay and his wife had decided that they were going to take the kids out of school, homeschool them, travel in Mexico as long as she was feeling good, and this is what they wanted to do. And when I met them, they really, we hit it off. And I introduced them to all my friends. They asked me to teach them archaeology. I took them around archaeological sites and museums and so forth. And
Maybe in 20 minutes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know me, I'm definitely going to eat.
Sure.
All right.
Anyway, so when I met them, I was headed off to go to an archaeology conference in San Francisco. They were going to take their children and travel to Yucatan, and they wanted me to sit down with them and tell them where I thought they should have a second home in Central America. And I said, okay, I'll do that. So they showed me their list, and their list was Panama and Costa Rica and Honduras, the Bay Islands, and the Corn Islands off of Nicaragua. And I looked at their list and said, no. With three daughters, you don't want to live any of these places. You want to live in Antigua, Guatemala. And they said, how do you spell that? You know, Guatemala, how do you spell that? So it was a very faithful meeting that day because they wrote it at the end of their list. And I didn't know then that I would never see her again. But the next thing I knew, I heard from Jay that she had died and they had flown from Cozumel back to Chicago. And after the funeral, he told his children, he said, I can't be here in our family home with memories of our wonderful marriage, and I want to continue our trip. So he had already bought plane tickets to Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Honduras, and they added Guatemala to the end of the list because that's what I had told them.
Okay.
So the next thing I knew is she died in July, and by mid-August, Jay was already in Guatemala. He got off the plane in Guatemala City and said to the taxi driver, where is Antigua, Guatemala? Take me to Antigua, Guatemala. So he ended up here after his wife died because I told him that this is where they should live.
Okay.
Which I had no idea at the time because I thought Antigua was a cool place that I would want to live someday, that I would end up with him. So this was just one of those fateful things. Anyway, so he had been here for a few months and decided he really had to have something to occupy his mind. He was 39 years old.
Okay.
His wife died when she was 39.
Wow.
Their kids were 16, 13, and 10. So he decided he wanted to go look for the lost jade sources of Guatemala, and he wrote me a letter, and I wrote him a very snotty letter back, and I said, no, there's no jade in Guatemala, and I know all about Guatemala, and there's no jade. So he got very determined that he wanted to involve me in the project because he wasn't an archaeologist. He was a retired businessman, and I was the archaeologist. And it was an archaeological problem that had never been solved. So he went to Washington, D.C., and went to the Library of Congress and bribed the head librarian to photocopy for him everything written on Maya jade, Guatemalan jade, pre-Columbian jade, you name it. he took her out to her favorite restaurant for lunch, and he came back to Guatemala with about 40 pounds of paper. And then he wrote me again, this is before emails and cell phones, and said, why didn't I come to Guatemala and take a look at what he gathered? And if I decided that there was no jade in Guatemala, he would give up the project. So that was all what happened between the time his wife died and the time I got here in February of 74. And I spent the first week here reading everything he gathered at the Library of Congress, and I was just amazed. I had no clue. Never learned any of that in graduate school. So he had gotten geological maps, he'd met a geologist, an American guy who was an ex-Peace Corps volunteer who was living here, who knew how to carve jade and who would pick up pieces of float jade in the rivers. And pretty soon we had this whole network of people who were supporting us and interested in our project. And from the time I got here until we made our first strike and discovered the first jade source, it was 10 months. So by New Year's Eve in 1974, we had just rediscovered the jade sources.
Now, that seems relatively fast, I think.
Very fast.
It's a pretty big country.
Of this guy who was a curator of geology at the Smithsonian, a man named William Foshek, had published a book with a map of the Motagua River Valley in the Sierra de las Minas, and he said this is where it has to be. So that really narrowed our search, and then we got geological maps. But I had to learn how to prospect for jade, and later I learned about plate tectonics, and I learned it was on the tectonic plate balance, but I didn't know that.
Oh, wow, that's very interesting.
So, it was a whole learning. I had to reteach myself geology because I had taken geology, but archaeologists are not geologists. And geologists don't care about solving archaeological problems. Geologists are interested in metals and petroleum and energy, and they're not interested in jade. So,
Right.
The fact that it was the curator of geology at the Smithsonian that had published this book that had never really been circulated was very interesting, because geologists don't care about jade, and he was a geologist. So anyway.
So funny.
So we decided right away, I've got to admit here that before I was an archaeologist, I was a social worker. So I decided, this was 3,000 years of culture from 1500 BC to 1500 AD.
Right.
It was wiped out at the time of the Spanish conquest. This is the most important things in the lives of people here for 3,000 years, and that we should restart the jade industry here rather than do what everybody else in the world does, which is everybody who owns a jade mine anywhere in the world ships it to China. So everybody sells their rough stone to China, and I said, no, we're going to teach the descendants of the Mayas how to carve jade the way their ancestors did. Make replicas of beautiful pieces from seven different cultures and find a market here, but we're not going to do anything they do in Asia, because this was a whole separate tradition and had nothing to do with Asia.
Right.
And what has happened in Asia is they have produced all these really gaudy jade trinkets, and they really cheapen the jade, and we want this to be a noble, beautiful, fabulous stone that people will walk in and go, oh, wow, this is different, and it's interesting, and it's beautiful. So that was our idea. And the only problem with that idea is that nobody believed it was jade. Guatemalans didn't believe it was jade. Americans didn't believe it was jade. And so for two or three years, we talked ourselves blue in the face trying to educate people about jade. It didn't work. I went to the Guatemalan government. I said, I've rediscovered your jade sources. And they said, no, we don't have jade in Guatemala. You would know it if we had jade in Guatemala, and you're just a crazy American, and go back to where you came from and don't bother us anymore. So, my feelings were hurt. And after Jay poured all of his money and his heart into this project, I just told him after a couple of years, I said, we're going to have to give this up. I said, I'm tired of being laughed at. I'm tired of being made fun of. No one's ever going to believe it's Jay. No one's buy any jade, and we're just going to have to walk away from this factory that we built and this thing we started. And
that's
my
incredible.
Husband Jay said, never, I will never give this up. So he was determined. I mean, his heart was in this, and he was a true believer, and I was ready to walk away. So it was so uphill and so bad for years that we just eked out a living, and people continued to laugh at us. And first of all, we didn't know what the world wanted. And the first things we were selling were these really simple little rough pendants and just blocks of jade. And then our friend said, you know what? Maybe if you made some jewelry.
Yeah.
Oh, jewelry. That hadn't occurred to us, you know. Oh, okay. Maybe we should make some jewelry. So I hired my old college roommate to come down. And we got a silversmith to show her how to hammer chokers and to bend wire. And she made our first jewelry collection in 1975. And we opened our first retail store in 1975. And then the earthquake came in February of 1976. And for 10 months, there wasn't a tourist in this country.
Oh, wow.
So for 10 months, we were vagabonds. And we took what little pieces of work jade we had from our factory in Mexico. We had Mexican jewelers and designers set it, and then we would just go almost to friends' houses and ask them to buy a piece of jade from us. And then we would send the money back to Guatemala to pay the rent and pay the factory workers, and it was really hand to mouth. It was like a traveling circus or something.
Oh wow.
And we were pretty pitiful.
But passionate.
Anyway, usually during the 70s and 80s, every year I would go to my hometown of Fort Worth, Texas.
Yes.
And my grandmother usually would ask me, what do you really do in Guatemala? And my picture came out in National Geographic. She said, you really do have a jade mine in Guatemala. So it was even my own family thought
they
that we were crazy. And certainly
yeah.
his family thought he was crazy. And our children weren't far behind and said, you guys better find a decent job and something else to do. So National Geographic turned the trick.
Oh,
and
thank
it turns
God.
Out that they have such a huge readership worldwide
yeah.
that even Guatemalans who've been laughing at us for 13 years, they read National Geographic and they thought, you know, maybe they're not crazy. Maybe this is really jade. Maybe it's really valuable. Maybe it's really part of our heritage. Because that's what I've been saying for 13 years, but nobody paid attention to me because I was crazy.
Oh, my
so,
gosh.
Yeah. So, I have a very spiritual feeling about jade, and
okay.
I definitely feel that jade has tremendous power and that it's a gift, and that people who exploit jade or steal it or misuse it are not going to have a very good end. And I feel I've seen it again and again and again, and it's nothing to do with me. The jade seems to come with that quality that it demands respect, and that people who disrespect it end up having some major adverse problems in their life.
Wow.
But if you respect it and treat it with respect, and my life, what I feel is the most important thing I've done is not discovering the jade sources. That's an archaeological bit. But it's the social work part of it, which is creating an industry, teaching the Mayas, having it be a give back to the people of Guatemala. Because when I came to Guatemala, I realized that Guatemalans felt that there was nothing of value that was intrinsically Guatemalan. And if you ask people, what's Guatemalan that has value, to them, it's like, well, blue jeans come from the States, champagne comes from France, coffee comes from Saudi Arabia, cattle come from Spain, sugar comes from Africa. Everything that Guatemalans have as a cash crop or have as an added value element to life in Guatemala doesn't come from Guatemala. And if you ask any Guatemalan, what's Guatemalan that has value, they couldn't come up with anything. And now, it's almost the flip side of the coin. Because right. Now, instead of, we don't have jade in Guatemala, it's not really jade, it has no value. Now, for the last 15 years, whenever the president or the secretary of state or any of the ministers travel to a foreign country, they take a piece of jade made by us. So it's a whole karmic wheel coming back to when the president went to the Vatican 3 years ago, he took the Pope a piece of jade that we made for the Vatican, for the Pope. Whenever a president gets inaugurated here, which is every 4 years, we make all the gifts for the presidential inauguration so that they can give them to the visiting heads of state. So whenever the president travels, he takes jade from us, and whenever someone comes here to visit Guatemala, they're given a piece of our jade, because that's what Guatemala has that nobody else has. Mexico doesn't have it. El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Brazil, Peru, Argentina, they don't have jade. And it's not just recently found jade, it's 3,000 years of their history and their culture. And that's the most important thing, because for the Mayas and the Olmecs, the jade has a shelf life of 400 million years, and they felt that that quality of eternity could transfer itself from the jade to the wearer of the jade. So whoever had the most jade on their body when they die becomes immortal. And the Mayas believe that, and the Olmecs believe that. And interestingly enough, the Chinese believe that. And they buried their rulers in jade burial suits to make them immortal, because the stone itself is immortal. And it's one of the great mystical qualities of the jade is its own eternal value, and its own, everything around you dies and changes, and the floods come and the volcanoes and earthquakes, and your children die and your crops fail, but jade's going to be there forever. And so it represented this eternal center and core to the Maya philosophy and the Olmec philosophy, that it's something that's on the earth, on the planet, but it has eternal properties. It's going to be here forever. And the fact that people believed for 3,000 years that if you covered your body with it, that you would become immortal, is definitely part of Maya philosophy and part of the story of immortality and world without end and everlasting life, if you will. So that's a value there that was left by the Mayas.
That is so beautiful.
And I did that on one long sweep, and you didn't even get a word in edgewise.
No, your story is incredible. I don't want to sully it with my words. That's really, really beautiful. Thank you so much. I'm so happy you could join me on Metaphysical Soul Speak. And I'm sure we'll be talking a lot more.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it.
My interview with Mary Lou Ridinger today was conducted in Frida's restaurant and bar in downtown Antigua, Guatemala, on the Calle de Arche street next to the world famous Arc. And I just wanted to mention this because I love this restaurant. I've eaten here many, many times. It's such a comfortable place to be. And I just wanted to mention it because the man who runs this place is very near and dear to my heart. He was one of my first friends in Antigua. And I just wanted to say, hey, Sergio. And also, eat it. If you're ever here, go out and eat at Frida's. You really won't be disappointed with the food. My favorite night is Thursday. Soup is 2-for-1. So I just wanted to mention that. I hope you enjoyed your 5 minutes of therapy for your spiritual success, and that you also learned something about jade in Guatemala. And hope you enjoyed my best interview yet with a world-famous archaeologist. I keep mentioning this because I am so thankful every day that God provides for me. And this interview was an absolute fluke. I had no idea it was going to happen. I did not expect it. One thing led to another, and I literally stumbled upon the Mayan Cosmology Museum, where I met Douglas Quinones, who works with Mary Lou. And it was just one of those weird things. I wanted to go to the Chocolate Museum, and I ended up there. And it's just funny how the universe works. I wanted to point that out. You know, if today there is something you wanted to do and you had a specific route, why don't you take a different route? Talk to a few extra people that you normally would not talk to. You never know where your life will lead when you just take that extra leap and you take that extra chance. And that's exactly how I came across Mary Lou. And I'm grateful. I'm glad I'm in Antigua. And I'll be coming to you again next week with more spiritual insights from the universe. And until next week, have a beautiful, beautiful week.
Metaphysical Soul Speak is run on sponsors and listener support. This means listeners like you. If you are so inclined to support my efforts and my little podcast, please visit me at anchor.fm/metaphysical and pledge an amount of your choosing today. Thank you.